fields of bodies burning as the war machine keeps turning. Death and hatred to mankind, poisoning their brainwashed minds. Oh, Lord, yeah.
Hi, this is Bob Petrakis bringing you the other side of the news.
And I'm Dan Dugan, the other guy on the other side. WGRN, the Green Renaissance.
This is Bob Petrakis bringing you the other side of the news. WGRN 94.1. Here with the other guy on the other side.
Here I be, and we are going to have a great guest today. Right, Bob? You want to...
Ruben
introduce,
Herrera,
yes, indeed,
longtime activist and at the center of the sanctuary movement, including a dozen or so arrests. It seems like the movement is growing quite rapidly. Ruben, why is that?
Well, I think you know the term movement is interesting, and I feel I'm preferring resistance. It is a movement. You're right. You're correct.
And I'm seeing a lot of flags and signs that say simply resist.
Yeah, and so I mean, I guess language. You know, you could argue that, but I really feel that it's more resistance. The movement has always been here, but I think it's growing because. Obviously, this president, this administration has really put into high gear the system that the previous president put into place, and so we're seeing more criminalization, detention, and deportations of immigrants, undocumented immigrants, and really harassments of the community. And I would even say that spills over to the Latinx community that are brown, and then say nothing of the black community and the poor community that they're also being crippled. So I guess my point is that it's all related. But for this specifically, the sanctuary movement resistance, it is growing as a way of resistance. I always say it's the only sanctuary is the only 24/7 resistance that's happening in this country. 24/7. There's a person that seeks sanctuary that is resisting, that has defied a deportation order. And there's a community, in most cases, are communities of faith that have said you can stay here. And then there's a community of support around that community that's saying we're going to support you, protect you, and provide for you. So definitely it's a resistance and it is a movement. You're right.
Well, you also asserted, and I agree with you, that this was put in place by the last president, President Obama. What would you tell the listeners about that assertion?
Well, you know, those people who know me and you know me and have seen us working, we know that we saw this coming. I mean, what's happening right now is really when I was in Arizona during SB 1070 6 years ago, it's the same thing that's happening, only it's nationally, right? And we were fighting it then, and it was this fight that happened even before then, right? And so we knew that this was going to happen, and so... In a sense, and about the abolish ICE movement, you know, and I'm just kind of slipping into that, is that we know that really it's a system that we need to abolish, that we need to really abolish. I have a tendency to want to say reform, but we don't even want to reform it, right? There's nothing that reformable about this.
Well, right. Ruben, also, I think it's important to point out, not everybody realizes that this just came into existence in 2002. Correct.
Like what's that?
The ICE itself, as an enforcement arm of immigration.
Yeah.
Anyway,
and obviously, it's a direct result of 9/11 and the criminalization of people of color and people from other countries, and it's related to the Muslim ban, and so what it's extended to is really kind of this xenophobic attitude that this country has always had, right, on people of color, people that are different, and so. We're seeing this president, and back to the current time, really stepping it up with his base and really kind of, in a way, popularizing the whole idea of criminalizing people and in this case, it's immigrants.
And Ruben, yep. What is the name of your organization?
Well, the organization is the Columbus Sanctuary Collective, and it's a collective. It's not an organization. There's a difference because it's a fine line between organizations and collective and networks and cooperatives. You would say is how do we exist in a structure. You know, the nonprofit structure binds us. It puts us in a container of to be contained, right? And I think we struggle with this, activists and organizers nationally, is how do we organize in a way that eventually we don't go back to the very system. Lots of times it's resources, money, that makes us go back, right? And it does take resources. And so how do we do this? Right now it's a collective that has emerged from a specific movement or resistance, in this case Sanctuary, in this case here in Columbus, Edith Espinal, and then now Marian Vargas, who's the new person in Sanctuary.
Well, also, the other day, right, at the action on Monday, there were several groups active. The Earth First people and the American Indian Movement, as well as yourselves. Yeah. So, and Bob, you represented them in court. Was that mainly the Earth First people, or who,
well, out of the 12? Well, there also were Appalachian First people, people.
Right.
So, and again, when I was there, and my law partner, Connie Goodell Newton, we stepped in because there weren't attorneys. But I kept thinking one thing, the slogan that sometimes raised, or the belief, you know, no borders, no walls on stolen land. It seems to be, I knew why the American Indian Movement was there, because this has been a long-standing problem since the foundation of this country and since the conquest.
Right, so that intersectionality, and the other group was Mi Gente, which was the immigrant-based group that was involved. And the collective is part of Mi Gente, and so we are part of Mi Gente as well. And so the whole idea that this, in order to move, to gain power, to gain movement, to gain resistance, there has to be a collective group of people coming together locally, regionally, nationally. And this action that you saw was a good example of that. We were brought into it probably about a month and a half ago, and we were pretty much organizing on a kind of the down low because of the nature of the action that we're doing, the direct action that we wanted to keep it on the down low. But we pulled it off in a way that was amazing. But you know, I say amazing, but it's amazing because we have a crazy system that's deporting people, and this system calls for those kind of direct actions that I just described as amazing. But really, it's needed, and there's nothing else that's happening. I've said this many times. Nothing as far as policy. There's nothing happening in policy, and so. So we have to move. We have to move it and gain that support and resistance nationally. So it's a good example of how we need to do that, I think.
The larger rally that had occurred just before the events on Monday seemed to almost have a split off. It looked like the majority of people were saying, "Get out and vote, vote against Trump." But a large part of the demonstrators there went down to the Levesque Tower and directly, you know, block traffic and protested in front of where the people are being locked up. What do you got to say on that?
I did see all there, and I think that's a good example, because it was the people who put that together, they're probably, you know, 1,500, 2,000 people there at the main rally.
Yeah, exactly.
And it was organized to kind of these progressive, quote unquote, groups that have a place, right? And I believe that voting has a place, but as itself is not going to do it. We know that. I mean, we elected Trump, right?
We elected Obama, who you said put a lot of this stuff in place.
Yeah. We elected Mayor Ginther. I
mean, right.
And so. So
yeah, the answer isn't to jump back to the Democratic Party.
It's more than votes. It's more than voting. It's knowing who you're voting for, and not only that, it may be even going beyond the two-party system, the Green Party, other people that really understand us, and not being bothered about that pressure of people saying, "Oh, you lost election for us." No, I voted for who I think is for us, and eventually we will get there. After all, that's how Trump got to be president, really.
Yeah, yeah,
and.
But let me go back to that, because your question, because I think that's amazing. It's interesting because yes, we kind of took over the last part, took the streets, and we went in front of the ICE office. And so this last Monday was interesting, because when I got there on the site, it was intentionally planned this way. We called a rally to be on Broad and High just to get people there. Most of the people didn't know what was happening. I had to talk to some people personally and on kind of as private as I could. But when I got there, there were probably five police cars there in the medium there on High Street, and they were all over the place. And I was a little worried about that, but they were responding directly to that rally that you spoke of. So, and they even came to me and said, you're not going to take the street. And so we really thought we were going to take Broad and High. They had no idea what we were going to do. And so that's exactly what we wanted to happen. And so the action, and while this was happening, the police attention was on us. They were setting up on Front Street. And also what got less attention is a team went inside the ICE office and locked themselves together to block that office as well. So it was that rally that you mentioned really kind of, it's almost laughable. The police department was so simple to really to kind of get them to think we were going to do the same thing. And
right.
So that only means that next time we just have to up our game, right? Because they're gonna know. They know what a tripod. I was looking at the tripod. They didn't know what the hell it was, right? How do we? It took.
Well, they called out a hook and ladder.
A bear teepee.
They didn't even know what to call it, right? And so they were completely baffled. And so it's that kind of radical resistance and movement, and I think that's historic. I've never seen. I don't know if you've ever seen a tripod here, but probably the first time that's happened.
I wanted to hear. We've got a teepee without a buffalo skin.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And so it took them a while to even think. Oh, let's get a boom, a fire truck with a boom, right? That would make the most sense. But they didn't even know what it was, and so that gave us enough time to gather people and to get the media attention to get people to block the streets, and that's exactly what we wanted to do.
Yeah, I was going to say that the rally that was about 9 or 10 days previous on the Saturday was even billed as a pro-immigration family rally, whereas what happened Monday was an anti-ICE action.
Yeah, and so I think what those groups are missing, and I said this in a chant on Monday, is you cannot say don't separate children without saying abolish ICE. So one is saying nobody wants to separate children from mothers or from families, but the real evil or the real fight, the real struggle is with the system that's making it happen, right? And so it's not people will address that different way. They'll say, well, if you vote, like you just said, if you vote, it won't happen. Well, that has not abolished that system yet. And so I think that really people need to understand, and that's the abolished ICE movement. People say, oh, you can't do that. How are you going to do that? People don't realize it was 2003 actually that actually was put into place. And so it can. It was created, therefore it can be abolished. It can. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of our fight, and we, we want to get there eventually.
Well, and part of that fight, right, the number five guy in the House of Representatives bit the dust in New York to a 28-year-old Democratic socialist on the issue, more than anything, of abolishing ICE.
And I think that's specific to maybe that district or the movement there. I don't know exactly the details of how that happened, but certainly it's also the candidate and the message. And now I understand there was just a congressperson from Wisconsin today introduced a bill, or is introducing a bill to abolish ICE. And so I don't know if Joyce Beatty's going to join us. I doubt it on that. But so that movement, abolish ICE, is really actually moving back into the mainstream. So eventually that's what we want to happen.
That's good news, all of that. But what I want to remind our listeners is you're listening to WGRN. This is The Other Side of the News with Dr. Bob Petrakis, and I'm Dan Dugan. And now we will continue with our interview, right, with Ruben. And
so a lot of the stuff that's happened. Well, one of the things that I found interesting is, I would hate to say the court was anything but impartial, but the court kicked all these people for time served and a fine that would be suspended, and downpled most of them to fourth degree misdemeanors. And one question, one statement I was able to get into the record is that this is a nonviolent civil disobedience movement in the finest tradition of American dissent. And the judge said, I concur. So there
Amazing.
Seems this issue, more than many issues, seems to be bringing out, drawing a line and bringing out people's strongly held beliefs. Because, we've done this before, right, with separating children.
Right.
Native Americans were treated as wards of the state, and their children were stolen and sent to schools where they could only speak English. So we've had this happen before.
Absolutely, and I think that that's, it was good to hear what you just described about the situation in court. And so, yes, I mean, it was a nonviolent direct action, and I think that because we planned it on the down low, and there wasn't time for others to really kind of even co-opt that action in a sense, and which usually sometimes happens, and it gets out of control. But I think that these kind of actions and will only continue these escalations. And I understand that there's a group here, Abolishize Columbus or Abolishize Ohio, that's organized and is looking at what else they can do. And so it's the collective part of it is that it can't, this movement cannot belong to an organization. It has to belong to the people.
There you go.
And that's the very definition of a movement, is that nobody controls it,
right.
And it's creative. It can't be contained.
Yeah, and I think that's a danger even myself, right? It can't belong to a person, right? And so,
correct.
So how do we allow for those kind of actions to happen, and without thinking I need to know about it, but no, I think that that kind of movement is going to happen, and eventually that's actually what happened in Arizona when we were working on SB 1070. The Christian people, the faith people of faith, the anarchists, the UUs, the farm workers, we were all doing kind of, there was communication. I think that's important, that some kind of communication, but we don't have to have total control of what everyone's doing. And in fact, that strategy is a strategy that the system, and being the system of police, don't cannot contain, because they have a hierarchy. They have to go down the chain of command in order to actually go down. And that's what we learned over there at the rally you're talking about. All the police did not follow us to down the block, because they didn't have the authority to do that, right?
Yep. And so their gig is to stay out.
Standing orders. Exactly. They're protecting Broad and the Hive.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, that's like the Mecca, right? It was the Mecca for cars in Columbus. And so
Ground Zero.
Exactly. That was the big critique that I've heard, is you block traffic on Front Street in Columbus. I'm like, really? We block traffic. All right. And so, so good. I mean, that's what we have here.
Right.
That's what we have to do here in Columbus. And so my point is that there's the police department has a hierarchy and a process that they do not break, because they have a chain of command. We don't have that, right? Or we shouldn't have that. We need to be more emergent. And my goal is really have several things going on at one time where they just cannot, they don't have the resources and the capacity or even the time to respond in time for us. And so it happened very much in setting up that tripod. I mean, those were 35-foot pole. Henry and I were laughing. He's like, you know, we were just lucky in a sense.
It looked homemade.
Yeah, I mean they were brought in. You know, he's in as he described, a hippie truck, right? And three law about City Hall, right? And so, but the thing is, there's some accuracy to that, because they practice and we practice on that, how to do that. Got that down to 5 minutes to set that up in 5 minutes, get her up there. And let me just say that the people that are up there, maybe you know this, but it was a trans Latinx woman that was up on the tripod, and it was her brother that was on the bottom with a device. There was his hands were locked in. So the intersection of a trans woman, once again trans women leading the movement,
right,
and also the Latinx community being a part of it. So it was really quite amazing. That's what I meant, I guess, by amazing. It's amazing that we pulled that off.
Well, you know, there's one other thing that, speaking of tactics, it's forgotten that in between that big rally and this action on Monday, there was a pleasant group of Christians who did go down that week before that and went up to the ICE office, and they wanted to hold out for like 33 minutes. There was some significance to that, but they left after 16, quite politely. But you know, they were there too. So when you talk about,
as a matter of fact, I was with them, and I just, I just went just to be with them. I said nothing. And I actually, well, you know, I was also checking out the ICE office for this
action.
But I was there, and it's really interesting, because it takes those people of faith. It takes, they were mostly white women with white children. And you know, I noticed that they were treated different, but that's okay. I mean, you have to, you come into this space, this resistance, with your privilege, with whatever you have, and use it, and that's okay. And so that rally turned out to be very successful, in the sense that they were able to be in the ICE office. They got TV cameras in there. They came down,
right.
And so I was really pleased with that.
Right. Now, I had actually spent some time on the phone trying to find the trans female Latinx. And then, I mean, we were in this huge panic. Where is she? You know, we want to make, and then it, like, the police had kicked her, which they gave her a summons, which I think the police were so puzzled, like, what in the hell do we do? You know, the mayor is kind of, we're sort of, I mean, the mayor is kind of moderate, like, we're sort of a sanctuary city, but the movement is pressing them to take a moral stand, are you not?
Absolutely, and even the terms of, I mean, what that does is really talks about the detention system in this county and in this city. And one of the reasons, let me just say that one of the reasons that we set up that tripod right there on Front Street, the only reason actually is because we had been observing that place and Franklin County Police, Franklin County, who are complicit with immigration, they right. come, they pick up and they take immigrants from the back door there. So originally we wanted to actually block with one of the legs, block that door. It's a door that opens in. The very rare people just don't notice. We just happened to be watching it for a while, but I think that so that incident, having a trans woman really looks at the criminalization and how we detain people and how we treat people. But also, I think more than that is, or just as equal, is the Franklin County being complicit with immigration, with ICE. And so these things, ICE cannot pull things off here without the local police. We saw that in northern Ohio, northwest Ohio, at the Corso raids and the Meat Plant raids.
So the woman, the trans woman, was arrested, right? I wasn't sure what you were saying about kicked and summoned.
Well, the police actually have the power to issue a summons without arresting. It was my understanding that 10 were arrested, but there was tremendous concern about how the trans woman would be treated
in
the jail system.
Right.
And the police seemed, you know, so befuddled. There was a mix-up about what are you going to do with her. And in this case, they gave her a summons. But they did keep 10 people overnight. But to the judge's credit, because many of them were facing charges, had they not been dropped for 90 days, 30 days minimum, is that the judge gave them time served for one day and one night in jail, which
so,
I thought was real positive.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. Your wife Suzanne, our producer, just handed me a note that says "kicked." You meant "let go." So
okay, yeah.
See, you're using some slang from the courtroom. Yeah. All right. So just to make that clear.
Yeah. No,
she was let go.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Sorry, I interrupted. Ruben, go ahead.
Yeah. Literally, she wasn't kicked. She was released with a summons.
Yeah. Well, and I think that, and I don't know. It's hard to say. That's good. I mean, that happened as it happened, but I think back to the whole idea of sanctuary. Really, sanctuary and resistance is about, in this case, about the immigrant community, the migrant community, the undocumented community. But it's really much more than that. And so that's that connection. We're talking about the connection of Latinx, trans people, and of course the Black community. And so the sanctuary movement is really about creating a real sanctuary city. And not something that Mayor Coleman Mayor Ginther has. And I've looked it over several times what he presented and they approved. It really doesn't make a lot of sense, and it doesn't have a lot of teeth, that's for sure. But it, politically, it was I guess that he saw it as helpful for him. But we're actually making this a sanctuary city. I think we're even doing it, having this conversation right here. The work that you do, the work that we all do collectively, that's how we're going to do it. You've been at it for a long time. We've all been at it for a long time. But now we're at this space where we actually have the enemy is clear. And exactly. Clearer than it ever has before. I think it's always been clear, but it's much more clearer now. Right. And they're certainly out with it.
And the sense of the movie, I spent the 1990s where I felt like 90% of what went on in the city, I knew it, I was there. And now I'm in the very lucky situation where I don't know what in the hell's going on. So much is going on. There's so much grassroots activity. You know, I get something on my phone as it's happening. It seems like there's multiple events happening everywhere, and they're very creative.
Yeah, and I think it's also I was looking at a poster of you and running for school board
with Bill Moss.
With Bill Moss, right? And,
yep.
And even sometimes, I mean, you were probably described as crazy there. We're
oh,
still
yeah, I was to the left of
you
Moss.
Crazy man.
Right.
Yeah,
right. And
I mean, the Dispatch attacked Moss
and so
for running with me.
The good news is that this definition of crazy has expanded. And it's made more sense, and so we have a growing movement of more young people, more collectives or people coming together mm-hmm. that happens spontaneously. And any more for the element of surprise, it's got it. We just can't find out till it's actually happening. I'm surprised too that sometimes something's going on with immigration. And I remember just 8 years ago when we were trying to get people. They've been separating family for a long time, as you mentioned. But we had a hard. It was a hard sell to get. 100 people downtown. We got 50. You're like, wow, we got a great crowd. And so I mean, those groups, they have to keep moving. The groups is indivisible, and so those progressive groups. I think it's good, but what I really look for is the people that sift through those thousands of people, and there's maybe 25 or 30 that are willing to go the next level mm-hmm. to escalate. Those are the ones I want to work with.
But,
those are the ones that make things
but
happen.
But it's important, and I know you'll agree with me on this, because the illegality of this. It's the Trump administration in violating the due process rights. Many of the people coming here are acting under treaties and accords that are the law of the land as refugees and asylees and have a right to apply and to be treated with due process legally. And it's the government itself that is the criminal,
there
is
you
it
go.
Not?
And often creating the situation those people must flee from.
Right,
the United States,
but all
you know, the United States armed El Salvador, you know, to the teeth.
But you know this, we don't. We have a Americans in general have a very short history knowledge of our history.
attention span,
and then also what Trump has done as a master at this is the whole fake news. He has created. And just social media in general, right? And so there's people do not know that history, even the economic history. Why are people coming over here, right?
Right.
I mean, people don't come here to Ohio for the Ohio winters, right?
And
so people are there's a reason economically why we have had intervention in those countries and economic and trade and all that.
And quite literally, NAFTA destroyed the small businesses and middle-sized businesses in those countries,
right,
and there was no continental minimum wage. And people were making there's, 58 cents an hour
but
in the maquiladoras.
But people don't
why
understand
wouldn't
that.
They come here?
But no, and it's almost like senseless. But it's those arguments that like it's hard to make because people don't understand. Will refuse to listen to that. What they listen to is this border mentality. There was somebody that said these people that are arrested weren't from Columbus and I respond. I said, well, the people who raided the Corso were the immigrant the ICE agents weren't from Ohio either. And he said, well, it's a federal issue. I said, exactly. It's
mm-hmm.
it's and but
precisely.
But we have this mentality of borders. That's the same border mentality. They're not from here, so they're from over there. And so we have this ingrained in us that the other and borders and that's exactly what the American Indian movement has been saying for years.
Yes.
And what you started off saying is that we need to get rid of those that borders.
And the people that stole the northern half of Mexico, many of them were from Tennessee and volunteers, and they brought in slaves. So there is a history.
Absolutely.
Last word, Ruben.
Yeah. Yep, you asked me.
We've got a minute left.
I'm just saying. I think first of all, this the whole idea to tell the story on radio any way we can is vital and important. And we have this resistance has to grow, whether it's sanctuary, whether it's Black Lives Matter, whatever it might be, trans lives. We have to come together, and that's what we're seeing happening. And that's the fact of Trump as president. But again, make no mistake, we've been fighting this. We have been fighting
there
this
you go.
For years.
And how do they get in touch with your organization?
Yes, if you could call and contact the Columbus Sanctuary Collective at columbussanctuarycollective@gmail.com. It's best to send us an email. We're also on Facebook, Columbus Sanctuary Collective. We are fighting for sanctuary, Sanctuario para Todos, and that resistance is only going to grow.
And
this is the other side of the news on GRN. Thanks a lot.
All right, thank you.
Thanks for listening to The Other Side of the News. This is Bob Fitrakis.
And Dan Dugan, WGRN 94.1 LPFM, The Green Renaissance.